Welcome to the Payments Journal podcast. And here is your host, Ryan Mack.
Welcome to the Payments Journal podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Mack. Now, over the past few years, there has been an explosion of fintech companies coming to the marketplace with all different types of business models and unique ways they're entering into the market. Now, as they mature, they are branching out to offer more and more services, hoping to attract more clients and become a one-stop shop for their clients' financial services and needs. But banks are not left out of this equation. In fact, they still remain a critical component to it. So to talk about the evolution of fintechs and the importance of their partnership with financial institutions, I have Cliff Thompson, who is the Vice President of Business Development at Avidia Bank, and Tim Sloan, who is the VP of Payments Innovation at Mercator Advisor Group. So there's certainly a lot to learn on today's episode, so without any further delays, let's start the show.
So Tim and Cliff, thank you so much for joining me on today's episode. Certainly a very exciting topic that I'm looking forward to diving deep into here today. Now, Tim, I'd really like to start with you here. So, you know, over the past, you know, few years, we've really seen a rapid increase of fintechs just coming into the marketplace. And now because of that, it certainly can be kind of difficult to kind of navigate this, especially if you were a merchant, to really kind of understand who offers what do they need, what do they not need, and how do they get it? You know, who is it that they need to reach out for to access what some of these fintechs have to offer? So to kind of get a little bit of a context of this space here that we're going on, I think that you've got some charts that you can speak to, and we'll be sure to put those charts up on paymentsjournal.com for those of you who are following along. But perhaps you could kind of give us a little bit of a market overview of this space and what it is that you're seeing.
Yeah, Ryan, thanks. You know, the terminology being used around fintech is absolutely confusing. It would seem everybody wants to be able to pin a label on themselves as fintech. So I thought it might be worthwhile to kind of understand the range of what makes a fintech company, and in particular, look at what services and functions these fintechs deliver that can be utilized by companies to offer to their clients. So the matrix is from the Journal of Financial Intermediation, Fintech and Banking, What Do We Know? And I'm sure we'll provide a link to that. And it shows the breadth and depth of what is made up within the fintech definition. And in looking at it, it's likely that your existing and new clients have some of these services probably from multiple third parties, whether it's accepting cards, whether it's dispersing funds, whether it's insurance, you know, there's a range of services, and fintech is all about APIs and making these financial services available so that other companies can consume them, use them, and make them available to their customers. So composing a solution using fintech business partners is absolutely a unique opportunity that's expanding the market, increasing the depth of friction and connectivity a company has to its customers, and providing new revenue opportunities, and is definitely worth taking a look at.
Yeah, now, Cliff, I'm very curious then from your perspective at Avidia Bank, what is it that you're seeing? Because I think that you're able to kind of really provide a little bit of that boots on the ground, so to speak, viewpoint. So what is it that you're seeing in terms of just the fintech market space from your end?
Sure, Ryan. And by the way, Tim, you're accurate. You're spot on. You know, today, for example, ISOs are evolving into ISVs, independent software vendors, a la fintechs. A traditional ISO is today in the midst of trying to discover new ways to improve and monetize their existing relationships with their merchant clientele. You know, by simply partnering with banks to gain access to payment and other financial service APIs, it allows them, therefore, to amplify their offering to their downstream merchant clientele. Effectively, the ISO has the ability to opt in for more deliverables to their merchant group.
Absolutely. And the fintechs are making that easier and easier to do. You know, you could look at payments as the beginning of the journey. But if you're offering payments, maybe then your customer needs some kind of an incentives capability, or maybe they need some payroll support. And the APIs coming from fintechs help you take on those new services and offer them to your customers.
You know, Tim, that's great. You know, like I'm glad that you brought that up, because, you know, I think that it's very interesting that when you take a look at the marketplace itself, you know, all the fintechs out there are not certainly one trick ponies, and they certainly kind of take a look at it and they say, okay, this is how they're going to enter the market. But then they start to diversify and begin to offer new products and services, you know, being able to roll out these different APIs, which then increases value, which then kind of relates to it as fintechs trying to become a one-stop shop in many cases for that. But Cliff, I'd love to kind of get beyond what Tim was talking about there. What are some of the ways that you're seeing fintechs really starting to diversify?
Sure. So again, back to the ISO, for example, ISOs are growing and diversifying their revenue streams by leveraging existing merchant platforms to provide additional software services. So what are those services? There's many, and I believe there's more to come. But you know, examples would be e-bills, integrated payables, direct biller options, shopping cart gateways. Certainly, you know, traditional online mobile banking services, payroll, card issuance. These are just many of the ways with which they can expand their offering. So, you know, again, the shift in the market is to meet the needs of today's on-demand society, right? Focus is certainly weighing heavily upon an ISO, an ISV, and or fintech to offer a broad menu to compete. And they have to execute.
Yeah, I agree. The independent software vendor is all about understanding the market that they're supporting and writing and distributing software that is right on target for that market segment that they've decided to provide value to. So they know that segment extremely well. And that gives them the opportunity to start thinking about the additional services they can layer on top of their existing solution to be able to provide an even better overall business process and resource to their customers. Shopify is entering the merchant payments business. Zillow has decided to start offering home loans and closing services. Yeah, there's just an opportunity for that ISV to think through and identify additional services that their customers can use to make their business operate more effectively and to generate new revenue.
Yeah, and so let's stay with that for a second though, right? Okay, so like, I mean, I'm of the opinion that from like a real pure tech perspective, you know, it would really seem that most fintechs are kind of the mindset that if they have the data and it's structured in a correct way, they can easily diversify and kind of really offer more services. But without that bank connection, you know, the data itself really doesn't have teeth. It's just kind of data itself that's sitting there. So, Cliff, from your perspective, and obviously being a financial institution, how does an acquiring bank in particularly get in on this action? Like, what is it that they need to kind of have in place that A is really going to add value here and that also provides value for the fintechs and then for their end customers?
Sure. I first have to mention that today the lines are between what defines an ISO, an ISV, and or fintech business models, they're blurred, becoming blurred, thus allowing small business to benefit from one-stop shop customer experience. That's an immediate impact. Traditional acquiring banks certainly can benefit from this trend by providing API access to a bundle of payment and, you know, inclusive of a bundle of payment and financial services. Banking as a service becomes paramount to this effort. And, you know, that is sourced at the sponsor bank level.
I agree with you, Cliff. And it is all of these terms are becoming jumbled together. But I do think what's absolutely important is an understanding that as you expand your services, financial services are highly regulated and require a very careful expansion of the footprint. And, you know, your company can, your bank can certainly help. You know, if you consider the HR platform Gusto, HR is a major category in its own right, but they're leveraging that position as an HR supplier to enable the business to offer pay in advance of the traditional weekly, biweekly, or monthly cycle their employees would normally be in. And so companies can more easily offer a new service to employees that will drive retention, but it's got to be done in a regulated fashion, is where your team can step in.
Yeah, interesting. Now, Cliff, if we could, for our last question here, right, I kind of want to bring this conversation full circle, if we could, right? So in the opening, we talked a bit about the market size, but I really kind of want to get into a little bit more detail, because we've addressed the fact that, hey, there is certainly this growing market among fintechs. It can be certainly a little bit confusing for consumers itself, but there's also a reason why there's been so many fintechs. And I think we kind of addressed that where certain organizations can get in to offer and diversify other products and services. But perhaps maybe we could kind of take a little bit, you know, that deeper dive of the market size and maybe kind of talk about, well, why would it be important for a bank to get involved with this? I mean, maybe it's market volume or something that you're seeing in the marketplace that really stands out as a, hey, this is why, if you're considering getting into the space and partnering with fintechs and kind of being that hub for fintechs, this is why you would want to do it.
Sure. According to a survey conducted by the Double Diamond Group, there are no less than 10,000 companies that are either ISOs or fintechs falling into that independent software vendor category, ISV category. You know, currently, they represent approximately $1.6 trillion in domestic payment volume. That's certainly a material number. As you know, the evolution continues over the next 5 years, the CAGR of payment volume effectuated by ISVs is expected to reach nearly 80%. I mean, this is certainly a favorable trend as beneficial to banks willing to break that traditional role by becoming an integrated channel partner of ISVs. I will say the field is narrow today, currently amongst banks willing to support this effort. But as demand increases at the fintech market level, it's presumed that additional fintech-friendly banks will emerge. It's a compelling opportunity.
Yeah, Cliff, I absolutely agree. It's going to be interesting to see how many of those 10,000 are going to have the foresight and innovative spirit to apply fintech to their own vertical market solutions. But VideoBank is certainly making it much easier for them not only to be able to embrace those services, but to do it in a well-regulated, properly controlled way.
Now, Cliff, if I could, I want to sneak in one final question before we close out here. So what is it in particular that like fintech should be looking at when they're saying, okay, I recognize that I need to partner with a bank here, but what are the questions that I should be as a fintech asking the bank to make sure that this partnership is going to align correctly for my organization?
Yeah, good question. So again, today, you know, why is a fintech seeking that engagement with a sponsor bank or an institution to help support their efforts? Well, there's a couple things that we all recognize, certainly at the bank level. Banks are traditionally slow to act and or react, and that's been a battle cry for a number of years. Today, for example, a VideoBank, we took a very proactive stance with this type of engagement. And what we're trying to do is effectively cut down on that drag time. And what I mean by drag time is, fintechs, they need to be able to pivot quickly. They're trying to meet a certain market benchmark traditionally at a rapid rate. So they realize the benefit of partnering with a bank, and the bank has to, obviously support their effort in a timely fashion. It's market sensitive in many cases. So being able to stand up an API library that's compatible, being able to deliver on payment facilities as part and parcel to that, being able to be flexible. A bank has to be flexible with these fintech partners. There's a getting to know you period that has to be worked through. Their design on how their program is going to meet market demand has to be distinguished at the bank level. And so what we've done, or what we've been able to do, is aggregate those business owners that may become part and parcel to this type of an implementation. So we've taken a real broad approach. We've tried to accelerate that process of engagement for a fintech with the bank. And it's our focus to guide them through an implementation and continue to work with them as they grow their product and or their platform and support them along the way. It's you're nurturing a relationship for the long haul. And so accessibility is important. Consistency is important that they'd be seeking in a bank, and does the bank have the willingness to bob and weave with their efforts? That would be my recommendation.
Well, certainly. Thank you very much for that recommendation there, Cliff. I certainly agree with a lot of the points there, and I think it's very wise for fintechs to pay attention to that. So with that in mind, Tim and Cliff, thank you so much for taking the time today for speaking to me about fintechs and the relationship with acquiring banks. And I hope to have you both back on the podcast real soon.
Likewise. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Cliff. Thank you, Ryan.